Alright, time for DoNotGuide.com video presentation. Speaking of video presentations, the Life Sucks guy, so it's an easy channel to find, Life Sucks, who produces, movies, short films, a little, docudrama, no, that wouldn't be the right word. Anyway, statements in artistic form. Something actually on purpose, rather than this kind of slop. He's an artist. He renders images from his imagination. And, made a comic book, kind of satirically taking shots at the natalists and different images relevant to the real picture of life isn't what they propagandize it to be. So just thinking of an image of a pink balloon on a string over a pile of quicksand, it's just that kind of thing. Whatever. So in that theme of conveying understanding to other people, it just seems so futile now. But anyway, in attempting to do that, yes, he's doing it in a way that's easy for people. They can pretend it's something else, while they watch it, kind of thing, I guess, in a way. Or they can see some other element of it, the humor or the creativity or some other aspect to be intrigued by, why they get accidentally kind of educated. That kind of thing, even. So it's all good stuff. Kind of fits in with a world that needs things in smaller and smaller packages. Everything's getting, the whole one-minute video thing is catching on. And some of it's very useful, I have to admit. I mean, sometimes you just want the recipe, I don't need you to do all this other stuff. Just give me the recipe. Just give me the do-it-yourself, easy step-by-step thing. Make it real quick. Get it done. So part of me likes that. It finds it appealing, but it's also just, there's way too much room for noise. And subjects like this, a conversation about what your life means, just ain't going to be summed up in those few words, because you really have to appreciate the whole story, the evolution thing, the physics part of it, the dynamic that, you have to understand the fact that you're a robot, that you're, whatever the free thing is and the will thing is, they're not relevant. It's not part of the agenda, the function. Anyway, he's got a new video called I Am a Natalist, and it's a parody of apparently some Netflix show or something, where, frankly, they just keep telling the crazy people out there, please keep doing crazy stuff so we can make you celebrities. And we'll check in on you every few years and see how you're doing and blah, 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 I mean, it's really dumb, frankly. And if they're going to sit there and profile these people and talk to them and, all this crap, then the first thing they ought to they ought to be doing is pointing out how awful it is in prison, how terrible they're being treated. Because, frankly, you're not deterring criminals if they have some place to go that's pretty much not so bad. Prison isn't not so, if it's not so bad, if it's not bad enough for you to be wanting to tell that story more than you're telling your little life story, then you probably haven't made it bad enough to deter bad behavior. And, that's probably a mistake socially if you want to deter the behavior. Frankly. Anyway. So that's just it's unfortunate that, people make, they actually do make celebrities out of crazy motherfuckers. Anyway, you know, really stupid. You know, I feel like, let's go ask the crazy person for some social insight. I'm afraid not. Anyway, so it's just, I've got a little sidetracked, but whatever. So anyway, so that I will just point to it and say, yeah, you know, he's very good at what he does, you know. You know, this is the future kind of thing. This is the way content will be produced and presented to you, so get used to it, I guess. Because, yes, this is... It's sort of... Okay, so it's connected to this whole AI thing, okay, a little bit, in the sense that he provides a link, that should be here, to a website that does this AI thing. What the hell happened to the... It was on the screen, right? I'm pretty sure I had this on the screen. Yeah, it says it's on the screen. That is strange. All right, sorry. A little defect in the presentation here. Space, that's not it. That's not it. Where the hell did it go? All right, well, I'll take a pause and figure out where the hell Firefox went. All right, should be back. Technical difficulties today. Anyway, so there's this, whatever, Stable Diffusion 2.1 demo. So he linked to this. So all the images he used in his video were, in a sense, public access kind of stuff, just because it's a public domain. Public access, I don't know. Anyway, because they're artificially generated, and I guess artificially generated pieces of existing art or something like that. Who knows exactly how they're doing that. So anyway, I figure I'd just hit the button. So I put in the word effelist and dog. And so we'll see what we get. So effelist is a, yes, make sure there's effelist in it. And don't have no dog in it. So dog is the negative word. I guess that's how you use this thing. I don't know if you could put in more than one word, but whatever. We'll just do this. And it takes a little while to do whatever it does, you know. So, so, you know, this is where, you know, this is sort of the future of creativity, even, is all of these, you know, engines that do part of the work for you. And that sort of gets to what I might really want to talk about, you know. So, they don't spell anything right, which is sort of interesting. So this is who knows. And so it's some sort of semi-dark images. Okay, this is like Van Gogh-esquean. This is, yeah, who knows. So I don't know exactly. I don't, you know, I'm not seeing a huge relationship there, but okay. So it renders some artwork that, you know, I guess it compiles a generic profile of, and that's what you get. So, it sort of has God here, or Cod Unum, or something. Well, so anyway, it's sort of close, maybe, I don't know. And some gibberish, I don't know. So, it's interesting. So, I guess maybe if you put more normal things in, you'll get more normal crap out. Which is, you know, it's all good, frankly. Okay, interesting enough. All right, so the thing I wish to talk about, I guess, is, let's see if this works. Yes, him again. So that's enough of the mystic, really. So he's just getting...
About 50 years.
Yeah, so he's getting nuttier and nuttier. So he's just saying about 50 years, but he's going to say something that's just, you know, stuff I went over 10 years ago. And you're just like, oh, people are still falling for this crap. And they, yeah, because they really shouldn't be falling for it. So it's this, you know, somehow they have to change the theory of evolution to make it more fun for humans, I guess. And it's all premised on kind of just such a preposterous, well, it's just such a lie. It's just such a, it's just fake news. It's just, you know, engineered bullshit. You know, just to, again, aggrandize the story, make the story more fun or some kind of crap like that than to just admit what the truth is. So anyway, in the past, there was, before Darwin, there was a guy called Lamarck who was basically arguing that, if you strive to be something, that somehow that got caught up in your genetic code and then your kid would continue your whatever you were doing. You know, it would finish your work for you in a way. So it's the idea that giraffes have long necks because they wanted to have one. So they sat around all day just going, I want a longer neck, and so their kids had longer necks. Obviously kind of stupid, and I guess most scientists said no. I mean, I don't know, we've heard of Lamarck, so I guess obviously he was giving more credibility than you would think that idea would deserve, but maybe he was, maybe he was like Einstein. He was already famous for some other good science, and this just happened to be one of his wackier ideas that got heard because he was somebody. He wasn't a nobody. But it's really dumb, frankly. And so Darwin comes along, and Darwin doesn't know anything about DNA, doesn't know anything about that crap, but basically says, yes, that's what you have inside of you. You have some sort of blueprint, and what's happening is the blueprint's getting fucked up. And the little fucked up monsters you have, because you broke your DNA, okay, you have a perfect Z-Rex copy of you, okay, first you screw it up a little bit by, meshing somebody else's DNA with yours, so there's some kind of combination thing going on with sexual reproduction, and you end up with this product, okay, and the product's just going to be a product of error code, frankly, just stuff that breaks, in terms of the copying machine doesn't work perfectly, so the copies are got smudges on them, and sometimes, every now and then, in rare occasion, the smudges help you out, okay, make you more survivable, at least more reproductive in the end, okay, and your spawn outnumbers the spawn of the others, and that code ends up being preserved because more people have it, some kind of simple thing like that. But it's all a negative engine, really. It's just saying, okay, the Xerox machine doesn't work, and it produces flaws. And then, it just perpetuates the flaws. Now, obviously, it's, the subject is really deep, a lot to it. So then he brought up the epigenetics and they said, and made the comparison that Lamarck was right, and there's epigenetic code that's really controlling evolution. And it's just so wrong, because it doesn't make Lamarck right. There's nothing positive you can do. I mean, a woman's eggs... So this is the epigenetic part, okay? So epigenetics just means there's a whole bunch of crap inside the cell. And the only part that the male contributes to is the DNA inside the nucleus. So it's just doing the nuclear DNA thing. The sperm doesn't add anything to anything else. So it doesn't make any change to anything like membranes or the mitochondria or all the other goop that's in the cell that makes the cell healthy, let's call it. And function. And that cell, that egg cell, is going to make all the other cells that'll make the baby. Okay? It has to use the hardware produced by the woman. So the woman, when the woman's in the uterus, she's not even born yet, her ovaries are creating her portion of the egg. Okay? And it's already getting decided what kind of genetics is going to be possible. So the Xerox machine is running, it's making the code, it makes the errors already, some errors, and it makes the eggs with all the little bits in it that needs to work. And then she's born, and then she lives a life, and all she can do during her life is endure negatives, frankly. So the eggs don't, all you're saying is I want to try to jitter the Xerox machine as little as possible to make sure it copies as well as possible. And the fact is she can bounce the Xerox machine around a bit and fuck it up so it makes more errors. But that's all she can do. She can't suggest happy... She can't have happy thoughts and it makes the eggs better. Okay? It can't happen. All she can do is break eggs. She can't make them rounder. She can't... give them harder shells. You can't, you know, she can't do a damn thing to make the eggs stronger and more durable and all that kind of crap. All she can do is damage. She either do a little damage or no damage. And that's it. And so all the epigenetic thing has found is that, yes, if you starve a woman in a concentration camp, you know, or brutalize her in some other way, you know, where she's unhealthy, where physically she doesn't eat right and she gets exposed to radiation and, you know, too much sun and too... yes, it can fuck up her eggs. And so what it's fucking up is the machinery that's going to read the DNA inside of the nucleus. And so it's kind of like tearing, you know, it's like the nucleus is writing the DNA that's writing words, you could argue, on paper. And the mitochondrial part, or the epigenetic part, is like the paper, you know, and pieces of the paper can be torn off, you know, and put in a pile, and then, you know, can be shoved back in again when you, you know, later, when you have sex with somebody else that still has that piece of paper, then you can see those words again. But they're not the words you wrote, they're the words somebody wrote 400 years ago. So, I mean, that's how it works. That's how it works. I'm using just a crude analogy. You know, how it works is how it actually works, and the analogies are all going to be missing some pieces. But there's no positive way to improve your DNA. You can't make it better. You can just not break it as much. That's it. And the fact is that breaking it is how evolution works. So yes, if you want to, you know, if you want to accelerate the process, say you want to, you know, you want to breed dogs or some kind of, or a fish or something, and you want to make more mutations, well, yeah, you can expose the fish to x-rays and different shit to try to screw up their DNA and make more fucktards. And so you'll kill thousands and thousands of fish because one of the fucktards will have some new feature that's really cool. But everything else about the fish sucks. I mean, its eyeballs are on its back and all kinds of things are fucked up, but it has this really cool color. And so then your job is to try to breed it with fish that have the eyeballs in the right place and try to keep the color and get the eyeballs to move back where they belong. So you're trying to just repair what you broke without repairing the thing you want to keep broken. And that's all people do when they breed dogs or they breed this. They're just trying to do the same thing. They take some mutant thing, okay, it has no legs, but it has really pointy ears. And so then they try to, you know, breed the dog with other dogs to keep the pointy ears but get its legs back. You know, that kind of thing. So it's ugly, okay? There's no positive feature to this evolution thing. It's a disgusting idea. I mean, if you proposed it as an idea, oh, here, let's inject, okay, we make perfect clones, and then we say, well, we want to make them so they evolve, so we're going to introduce error code in them, okay, fuck up their genetics so they have mutant broken children, okay, who 99% of will have negative outcomes because of the mutation, because of the fact that you've decided to screw up the perfect clones. And will live miserable and unpleasant lives, no doubt, because the fact is they're not as good, they're broken. And yes, every now and then you'll get some little feature that'll be worth preserving. But you'll torture a bunch of victims to create that better thing. Better. By some stupid standard of better. So it's just, it's all negative. So this keep, these people, this sissy fucking philosophy. So this all goes back to like to be serious, you know, complete journalist, scientist thing. You know, just this superficial, you know, a little knowledge is a dangerous thing. And, you know, I just figured the mystic was so much above that kind of, you know, falling for that kind of crap. But he really is. He started out in this whole thing as a fake in the sense that he was always a wooist. And he's just trying to make the wooism rational. And it's not rational. Any shred of optimism or perception of accomplishment is foolhardy and ignorant. because it's all just psychological shit. It's all just ego shit, which is just so ironic. So he talks about how this ego thing is sort of in a negative context, you know, recognizing that it's just subjective crap, and yet he's mired and wallowing in that crap, in that dirty bathwater. So it's just, yeah, it's just disappointing. I mean, you know, good brains go bad. You're just, you know, it's just hard to watch. You know, because it just breaks some connection to that all this required is proper reasoning, and you know the right result will come out. I mean, all we have to do is, you know, you do the right thing and you'll have the right outcomes and blah blah blah, and you know, this process is just so much uglier than that. And I don't even want to get lucky you know, or apply, or be sneaky and fake and phony. You can't do this honestly. You have to always do it in some fake way. You know, that's just depressing. Not that I'm saying, like I said, sometimes fake or stuff well disguised and produced is a good thing. True detective or something. You know, it has its, you know, it can have little moments that are just, you know, you're not going to undo them. Even if you try to write the story in some other way, you've already written a story. You can't burn that book, so to speak, or that bridge either. Yeah, so I'll take a pause and lament, you know, because that's all there is, really, is that, you know, this, I am finding as I, you know, attempt to do this arguing in defense of idea thing on these two different levels, you know, this philosophical level, meaning, value, appreciating that, you know, we're not playing a value enhancing game, you know, that we're wasting value, way too much of it, it's way too expensive. So you're making a philosophical argument about what has value, which is real. I mean, I can't say it's not just as physical as talking about physics. You know, what's the actual mechanism that makes human beings or makes planets or makes the universe or and all that kind of crap, the facts of existence. Because value is a fact of existence. It is a fact that we have consciousness and that we experience this value that happens inside of us in terms of how we feel. And there's definitely a huge, gigantic cavern of difference between feeling good and feeling bad. And the value of it is, in my opinion, completely undeniable. I certainly know I would not create, like, say, my worst day, brain state, you know, my worst physical experience. I wouldn't make a brain that's experiencing that and throw it into space. Okay, I wouldn't think that was a smart thing to do. Yeah, let's make millions of those. Brains that are just feeling horrible. And throw them in. And, you know, I know it has value. I know that would be insanely not wise or clever or smart or efficient or decent or, you know, any word that would qualify it in terms of understanding that would be a negative circumstance, a negative value circumstance. And such. Now the question is, you know, the trickier question is the happy brain, you know, would it be worth making those and throwing those into space? And that question, I think, is answered by the fact that, again, for it to be happy, it has to be sad first, frankly. And so it's just a whipped brain feeling better when it's not whipped. And maybe you can't create that without the previous condition. And so it's not really a pure positive. And even if it was a pure positive, you still have to argue it doesn't do anything. So don't mess with it. You know, it's not, there's no immediate need for the universe to have happy brain floating through it. So don't bother. Alright. It's not, it's only a real value in terms of how much negative it's undoing, really. So again, you can't really make a good. You can only destroy a bad, and that's the good. Stopping a bad is the real good, and the only good. So that's the philosophical argument. Doesn't seem that complicated, but 99% of people don't want to believe that's true. They think good is some real place that they're going. They're going to a promised land or something. That's where they're heading. That they're going to accomplish this task of enduring a minimum of negative for some, you know, big pile of positive, and that the equation is always going to be well balanced. The very fact that they're seeking just balance, you know, why bother? Why bother introducing a negative when it's doubtful that you can ever undo anything to fix it? I mean, again, I shouldn't have to make a very complex argument. I could just say, okay, we're going to inject a kid with cancer. Okay, it's going to have a bad time. It's not going to be fun at all. And, you know, what do I do to make that okay? I mean, is it, you know, what good do I create? What carnival, what Disneyland is worth that price? I mean, if you were given the, if you knew up front that's what the price was going to be paid for it, would you bother? Because the Disneyland does seem kind of frivolous and superficial. I've certainly lived, you know, the last 50 years without needing one. You know, I mean, it has a, you know, I haven't missed it. Well, yeah, I won't say that entirely is true. I mean, I have some memories, and so in some sense I have, it's was useful experience. But everything was a useful experience. You know, I mean, every time I, you know, tripped on my own shoelaces, that was a useful experience. So, you know, I don't need Disneyland to have useful experiences. Yeah. All right, so I take a break there and see where I go from here. Now, I guess I should finish this point, though. So the point is that, you know, you're making these arguments. So you got these philosophical arguments. Doesn't seem that complicated. You're basically just saying, look, there's no true goods. There's just, you know, negating a negative circumstance. So being rich isn't good. Being poor is bad. That's where the real value is. The real value is in the negative condition you're fixing by being in some kind of positive condition. So the fact is, when you feel good, what you're really not doing is not feeling bad. And that the result is feeling good. And so, yes, if you want to feel euphoric, then don't allow any bad in, and you're already there. You could almost argue that the rock is euphoric because it doesn't have anything making it, there's no negative influence to fix or compensate for or create a positive to overwhelm. All right, and then there's these physical arguments. You know, I'm finding the same frustration in terms of this. These don't seem very complicated arguments. And the amount of resistance is just amazing. It's just, you know, people just do not want to hear it. They don't want to deal with it, and then they don't argue it. They just, like in this circumstance, they just troll and, you know, invade your personal life and do all kinds of other crap and, you know, slander you all over the place and pretend you're this and pretend you're that and make you into some sort of boogeyman. And it's just all such propaganda and fake news and bullshit. And you're saying that's their counter argument to a simple theory that, you know, like Benatar's asymmetry, that there is a brokenness in the sense that the good thing isn't as good as you're selling it as, and the bad thing is a lot worse than you're realizing. You know, and that, you know, your the goods don't undo bads. And then I would take it a step further and say they certainly don't undo bads somebody else is experiencing. I mean, you really have no right to impose the short straw on somebody else and then talk about what a great life you have because you have the long straw. I mean, that's just too silly. I mean, you do have to account for the whole price that's being paid for whatever it is you have. And you have to recognize, well, is it really? Did I really need to cross that bridge so much that it's worth killing somebody for? You know, and orphaning little kids and doing all kind, you know, all the implications of the thing you get. So, I mean, the product has to be justified for its real price. You know, not some illusionary price that, oh, it only costs 58 cents to cross the bridge. Well, so what? So it's a bargain, okay, for you. It's not a bargain for the dead guy. Or the one whose life was ruined because you, you know, kicked him out of his house and his property and forced him to live some other shitty place he didn't want to live. Or some other hardship that you could say is related to you having whatever it is that will make your life better. Alright. Now, so, I'll pause here. That's what I'll do. Just not having a good week. this is a struggle. Alright, I'm back. So, brain just started thinking about how I started this channel and the subjects I started with and the simple little ideas, you know. And, you know, all of that is, you know, over time, it just becomes clearer and clearer how right I am. And you know, how simple things really are. So, you know, I had this idea of incentive economics, and the idea isn't to have this stupid capitalist winner-take-all, you know, tiny, like a lottery. Instead, you create a gambling mechanism that gives people real encouragement because they, you know, they see the payoffs, you know, and it doesn't have to be a $1 million payoff. All you have to think is that maybe I'm going to double my money. And if I have a 50-50 chance of doubling my money, you know, that's just as appealing as some idea that I, you know, I put in a dollar and I have a 6 million chance, you know, 1 in 6 million chance that I'll get a big giant pile. You know, and rational people will gravitate to the more realistic. And that you, you know, so you create a system. You're just saying, where are you going to put carrots? You have a bunch of horses and you want to get work out of them. You give all the carrots to four horses, or do you, you know, spread the carrots around as all best you can and try to get every horse interested in chasing carrot? But you don't want to do it in some cruel way, you know, where the carrot's on a stick and they never get the carrot. So you got to use some of the carrots. Some of the carrots have to be eaten, you know, for this whole incentive thing to work. But yes, you know, so you don't want this grotesque socialism where you sit, just sit there and say feed needs and don't incentivize the unpleasantness of work. Well, of course, you have to do that. You have to create incentives for people to be miserable, frankly. You know, or, yeah, you're not going to be very productive because, yeah, work isn't going to be fun. You know, real work, you know, usually. I mean, some work is fun, but, you know, some isn't. Yeah, I could almost argue that some of this, you know, puzzle solving, you know, is fun, but it gets tedious. You know, once the piece has billions of pieces and, you know, it gets tedious and obnoxious and it's, you know, it gets horrifically unpleasant. I could even argue that there's some aspects of making these videos that is, you know, irritating. Because I have to go through this process of, you know, rendering the videos and then I have to, you know, reprocess them for, you know, the website, and then I have to upload them to the website, and then I have to label them, and I have to, you know, all these little different things you have to do, and some of it's just tedious. It's just, you know, yuck. You're sick of doing it every day. You know, so you have to have an incentive, you know, to do the unpleasant bits that have to, you know, that create the, you know, product of victory. In terms of something of value created and all that kind of crap. But anyway, so economics isn't that complicated in the sense that, yeah, they said, you know, it's not that hard to figure this out. that inheritance is retarded. You know, rewarding people for not doing anything is just plain stupid. Having people go to college and then never apply their education to any part of society, doing any work with it at all. What's the point of that? You just wasted that space in a classroom because you put a brain in it that's not going to use any of this information to do anything with it. So many inefficiencies. All right, and the other subject was like the right to die. I mean, this one is just so obvious, certainly if something's going to live, it should be by their own volition, and if they don't feel like it, why would you say they should feel like it, or they have to feel like it, or if they don't, that's just insane in a sense. It doesn't make any sense at all. Why go to all that work to force it to do something that it's not going to successfully do in the end anyway? It's going to die anyway. And you're just saying I should just drag out the process and I should force it to just keep marching in a parade it has no interest in. For some sort of aesthetic reason. Because I don't like the fact that they're saying they don't like parades. So I'll force them to march in it just so there's no opposition. So nobody looks like they're opposing parading or some kind of crap like that. It really just comes down to an insult to their god. And that you're not allowed to insult God's creation by rejecting it. And that's really all it's about. But just the gross inefficiency of it, the stupid harm of it. Because we know that none of the people, there's a very low likelihood that the people who are contemplating suicide are vitally useful people. It's usually not the very useful who are contemplating suicide. It's the people who are emotionally ruined and have had experiences that have just, they're not really in the game. They're not going to, build or engineer or do anything. They're not going to do much work because it's work for them just to take a breath every day. And certainly this is true of the people with diseases and other hardships. I mean, I'm talking about just people who are sick of living. There's people with real reason to get the fuck out. And it's so grotesquely stupid and cruel to sit there and say, no, we're not going to allow you. We're not going to give you a graceful exit. You have to do it in some brutal way. You have to do violence to yourself. And then, after they force people to do violence to themselves, they say, they were violent by nature. No, they weren't. You forced them to it, okay? They didn't want to die that way. You force them to die that way, and then you call them a name. It's just so insidiously hard. And the fact that, 20 years later, I still got to say this shit. I'd still have to argue. I mean, ew. it's like, oh, come on. I shouldn't have to even bring this subject up again. There's no counter theory that has any viability as anything called intelligent reasoning. There's no reasoning on the alternative side that has any logic in it, any facts, anything at all. It's mush and cruel and stupid and ignorant, and it's just, it's pretty dismal that, 20 years later, I'm in the same position talking to, wind. arguing with wind. No reasoned counter argument of how the universe is a better place because you force somebody to live. Are you in any way interfered with their desire not to? It's just not a viable argument that somehow that's a winning strategy, that the extra suffering created is somehow worth it, that you got some value out of it when you really didn't. Nothing approaching the price you paid. All right, the other subjects are The whole animal cruelty thing, you know, the abuse of animals, right? And more related to experimentation and, you know, just if this is the price you have to pay for your welfare, if this is what keeps you comfortable and alive, it's way too high a price to pay. Torturing stuff, I mean, that's just not acceptable. Yeah. And the fact that you find it acceptable or can make some excuse for why it's okay to torture some feeling mammal. So there might be some chance that you'll get some health benefit out of that torture, or some protection or immunity from, you know, some sort of human misery. And you're willing to pay that price. You're willing to say you're worth it. I'm certainly not willing to. I'm saying it's not worth injecting individuals into a game that has to be played that way, where all these rights and entitlements have to be pretended away to make the game playable. Yuck. So there was some other basic issue, and I can't remember what, frankly. Oh, democracy, that was another subject. So easily fixed, you know, just by getting rid of the stagnant majority rule. You know, going to a real one man, one vote thing where each vote is actually counted. And that is, you create a democracy where everybody's represented. Okay, not just the majority in a state, but the majority in a nation. So first, you know, the national politics versus the state politics versus the local politics, they all have to have a mechanism to prevent the same majority from running all everything, you know, and the minority never heard from. And, you know, because we really don't have a representative democracy. We have a winner-take-all, okay, majoritarian theocracy, frankly. And that these are really kind of easy fixes, you know, instant runoff voting and just getting rid of geography as if geography means anything. Because it frankly doesn't. You know, it doesn't have much to do with people's philosophical perspective or much to do with their understanding of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. It's not really a geography thing, understanding what rules there should be about how you define a trespass really doesn't have anything to do with where you live. A violation of decency. You don't need to live in a certain state to know what that means. It's a subject that has little subtleties to it, but I'm just saying it's clearly we don't have a representative democracy. We're afraid of it. We're afraid to have a Congress that actually has a Klan member, you know, in his full Klan suit, you know, as a representative of a segment of human belief. But it should be represented, and there should be smokers, and there should be all kinds of different people in Congress. And instead, it's this generic pile of mush, you know, of liberal, thin-thinking, silly people, and conservative, draconian, you know, make me richer thieves. Nothing else. Anyway, very fixable, but nobody wants to fix it. They just go with the, you know, look, Thomas Jefferson, smart guy, did a lot of great stuff, but he did it in, you know, the 1700s. And frankly, you know, you could make a really nice bathroom in the 1700s, but you wouldn't want to use one of those today, right? So, you know, it's time to upgrade the fixtures and, you know, make it a technologically better, more sanitary, more functional. But anyway. So that's just sort of a dismal statement that even though those issues seem so clear, so obvious, and so fixable, and so this isn't, you know, you just go through the procedure of explaining what's broken and people should understand and be able to fix it. You know, just understand the cheats of things like the majority deciding. See, because the majority has a certain vice, they allow that vice, and then they allow the law that's supposed to be evenly applied, they allow the law not to evenly apply because the majority has a certain vice, and so it's protected, but the minority vice isn't protected. Same vice, same problem. You know, it's like, you know, you could argue that cigarettes versus fat, you know, fat is just as harmful, just as, you know, decimating to people's lives. Alcohol is probably even a better example. I mean, just no positive influence on society at all. Kills people, not because of their own behavior, doesn't kill the perpetrator, kills the victim, right? Kills victims in much higher numbers. It shouldn't be a difficult argument to make to say, well, a legal system that can't see the hypocrisy and the duplicity of these kinds of uneven laws, you know, the very fact that you can have something called attempted murder and it somehow is a much lesser crime than successfully murdering, like somehow it should matter. Then you can even go into the alcoholic who kills somebody, you know, driving. All of them took the same risk. The act of drunk driving, you know, is an act. So if you're unlucky, you go to jail for 20 years. If you're lucky, you don't. I mean, those are obvious flaws in what you would call a justice system or a deterrent system. That's not going to work. It's not very sensible. Okay. You know, it has this, you know, you're not going to create a system that people respond to, okay, that isn't, that's perceived to be unfair and broken and not playable. You want it to be kind of a certainty. You want there to be certainties, not where people will just say, well, it doesn't matter because it's a 50-50 chance or some kind of crap like that. You don't want them to forget about you know, the real consequence because it's all become a luck game. All right. It's kind of a side subject, but just the whole idea that all of, to me, these, you know, there's so many simple things you can identify as failure and doesn't work, isn't going to work, is silly, and yeah, people have to argue all this crap. They really shouldn't have to. Yeah, I'm back. So, this, you know, the stuff whirled around in my head, and I'm saying, well, look, I'm not talking about how to persuade people. I'm not talking about this. I don't, what exactly am I trying to say? And I couldn't figure that out. you know, in terms of, you know, it's just about persuasion, and persuasion requires, you know, you have to make a connection to people in terms of, they have to find you interesting enough to listen to, and you know, so you know, and they're gonna fixate on. Look, his fingers are moving. Yeah, you know, they have wrinkles in your face or some other kind of crap will distract them, and you know, there's just so much in the way of just communicating from one person to another person, and saying, look, you know. You have a way of thinking, okay? You believe in a god, or you believe in woo of some kind, some sort of spiritual shit or whatever, some sort of crap about what the hell's going on the surface of Earth. And all it is you know, it's an infection, okay? It's a bunch of, yes, microbes with brains, okay? Bacteria with brains. And that's all, okay? It's still fish. Swimming around on the surface, just eking out existences, just trying to be comfortable, eating enough, pooing enough, fucking enough, sleeping enough. You know, that's it. There's nothing pretty about it, and all it's doing is, you know, evolving in the sense of forms, shapes, changing over time to more adapt to the environment. You know, to get teeth made out of cement and some other kind of bullshit to give you a fucking advantage. And it only gives you an advantage because you have a bunch of retarded brothers that were born without the advantage, and they were, you know, killed brutally. so you could have your advantage. I mean, there's just no part of the story that's good. It's a bad story. And it's just a negative fact. And the fact is people's psychologies don't like that. Don't like learning that something's broken or bad or flawed and all that kind. It's just disappointing, and we evade it if possible. We evade having to accept that there's these negative conditions that we can't fix and that we can't do anything about and that doom us. And we don't want to hear it because that gets in the way of us, you know, doing our incentive carrot thing. And again, most of this is about people chasing very minor little carrots, you know, very silly little pieces of glitter. You know, they should be able to see that they're just trapped in some psychology, some addiction, some habits, and that that's all they are, as a creature of them. And, you know, some notion of tradition, and this is the way it's done. They should be able to recognize just how pathetic their construction is. And, you know, the parallels are just so obvious. Like I said, the sports fanatic is just a soap opera addict. You know, just like some silly woman, you know, watching her soap operas every afternoon. Yeah. Yuck. I mean, that's the role you're playing, and you should be able to recognize it's a shitty role. And then all the like I said, and then keep running from the truth of your own destiny, that, you know, someday the story's going to turn really ugly, and you're going to die. And it ain't, you know, it's not going to be, you know, graceful. And the story's not going to end with some pretty music. Blah, blah, blah. It's going to be nasty shit. You know, the boat's going to be capsized and you're going to be drowned. You know, so don't sell boat rides, because they're not what you're pretending them to be. They're not like you just waving, you know, hey, everything's great on boats. Boats are great. That's not the story. You know, it's a lie. And, you know, you're just selling tickets on the next Titanic. You just, you know. Why the hell would you do that? That's a pretty easy one, right? I mean, you know, recognize that, yeah, why would I be a promoter of this crap? You know, when it's going to fail, I'm going to fail. My life is going to, you know, be hammered into the mud. Why am I selling this trip? I mean, do I really have the delusion that the trip is just the voyage part? No, it's not, yeah. No. There's that big, horrible storm that sinks the boat. So fuck pretending everything's just fine. Even that argument should be able to sink into people that, yes, I'm living my life without thinking about all of that shit. So I am living a lie, because I'm really not thinking about, first off, how many people had to die for my comfort, how many women I ruined, how many lives I interfered with in negative ways. Yeah, I'm not thinking about any of that crap. And I'm certainly not thinking about me getting a bunch of unlucky straws at the end and dying in some pathetically, you know, choking on your own vomit way. Yeah, no, that's not what I'm thinking about. That's not how I'm living my silly little life. Okay, well, then just admit you're living a lie, okay? Just admit that you're, you know, you're living in the cartoon rendering of life, and that the real version isn't all of that. It isn't soft and pretty and fun, okay? The real Mickey Mouse is sitting in some laboratory somewhere being injected with fucking cancer. So why lie about it? Why pretend it's all okay? It's not all okay, it's not an okay game, it's not free, it's not something you impose on somebody else. There, we should be done. All right. Yeah, well, I'll be done. I'm done. Yeah, so all I can do is, you know, endeavor to persevere, do my job, blah, 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 blah. So that's what I'll do, but yeah, it is, you know. not even fun, frankly. Losing sucks. Ugh, yeah. Struggling. Practicing. That's what we want to call this, practicing. Yeah, I'm practicing to be successful. This is the hard part. The easy part will be the successful part, and then I'll die horribly. Yes, there's no way to make it a good story, sorry. There's no way to do it. The best people in my life are dead, and there's just so little to look forward to, and it's just, so horrible. But anyway, I every day will try to fake it. I try to make a cartoon for myself to live so I can get through it. But just admit that's what you're doing. You're just getting through it. Okay, you're not really doing it right. You're not doing it real. So admit that. Admit that you're playing the easy version of the game. The version where you don't have to accept responsibility and you don't have to accept reality. Okay, admit that's what you're doing. Okay, and quit pretending you're doing anything called reasoning and fact arguing. You're just defending a cartoon. Okay. Yeah, that's a pretty good statement. I don't know if it's worth quoting, but it's pretty good. It's okay. So, so I'll end on that. All right. So, so till the next time when I do some more of this, whatever this is, this attempting to convey, I see that it's red, it's longer than it is fat. I mean, I can see some facts about things, and I'm just saying, I mean, come on, you guys, you should be able to see some of these facts. I mean, why, you're seeing everything so crooked and so bent and so perverse. And come on, some of that is on purpose. You're doing it on purpose. You're doing your little pro-life thing on purpose because you're just too afraid to accept the truth. And so you have to keep pretending the lie is true because it gives you hope and it gives you the ability to endure and it gives you strength. But it's bug juice. It's made out of, it's like drinking dead fetuses to win the Olympics or something. I mean, it's just kind of disgusting and gross. Stop doing that. Stop pretending that you're not putting things at risk and at harm for no good reason but to preserve some notion that your life is worth it. That you're really good and great and it's really great that you lived. Come on. Jeez, get over yourself, so to speak. Okay. That's enough. Alright. So, till the next time and such, so forth and whatnot. This has been Do Not God. Google is also evil video presentations. DoNotGod.com. Simpler than In Mendem. But, the evil Google destroyed the Do Not God channel. It could not allow it. Okay, so, till the next time.